if you will, please. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter number 25. Acts chapter 25. We've been speaking about Paul witnessing to different people and the way he carried about his witness and what he had to say and so forth. And so today we're going to continue in that vein, and we're thinking about witnessing to royalty. Witnessing to royalty. Now, someone says, well, do you witness to royalty differently than you witness to ordinary people? Not really, but sometimes you have to use a different approach. Royalty has a distinction about them that not everyone has, and that is that they don't usually have to take your conversation or your comments. That you can usually walk away from them or have someone else take you away, and so there, it's different that way. But the Word of God needs to go out. The Word of God is what does the witnessing. So we're going to begin reading in verse number 9, and we'll read down through a ways and see if God doesn't show us something about witnessing to royalty. Verse number 9, the Bible says, but Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came into Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was in Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, to whom I answered, it is not the matter of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusations of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions about him of their own superstition and of one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the in the place of hearing, with the chief captains and the principal men of the city, at Festus's commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all the men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, but that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Father, we thank you today for your word, and ask you, Lord, you'll take it and use it for your honor and your glory. Teach us that we might grow into the image of Christ Jesus, we might be more like him when the day is over than we were when the day began. We pray again, Lord, with great earnest for those that are at the fair, asking the Lord to protect them in every area of their life, protect them physically, certainly, emotionally, and spiritually. Lord, I pray that they might have great boldness, and Father, they might preach the truth without wavering in any bit. Lord, ask you, Father, that folk might receive the truth, they might see folk saved. Pray for this young man that made the profession this week already. Pray, Lord, again that you'd lead him, direct him, get glory from his life. And then, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of preaching the gospel of Christ and presenting Christ and witnessing for Christ and giving out tracts and trying to comfort people and try to be an encouragement to people. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name you'd use our efforts there, Lord. It's your time, it's your people, it's your message. I pray, Father, that you'd use it for your glory. And then the lesson and the preaching today here, Lord, may that also be used to honor you. I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning. Glad you're here. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we find in verse number 9, the Bible says that Festus was willing to do the Jews a pleasure. If you'll drop back down to verse 27 of chapter 24, the Bible says, after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So here we find that the government is changing. The Governor Felix is going to be replaced by Governor Festus, and there's a lot of pomp and splendor that go on in that thing. But both of these men, in verse 27 of chapter 24 and verse 9 of chapter 25, both these men, Felix and Festus, one of the utmost things to them was that they would please the people rather than pleasing the Lord or doing what they're supposed to do. Right doesn't matter so much if the group that you're with is pleased. That's the mob mentality. We see that happening a lot in America today as the politicians are running around the world, running around back and forth across America, telling everybody what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. And what they're going to say they're going to do is going to be determined by to whom they're speaking. If they're speaking to a bunch of Catholic people at a Catholic meeting of some sort, they're not going to say anything about abortion. I guarantee you they're not. If they're speaking to people, most of the time when they're speaking to people that are of a rural nature, maybe out west somewhere, they probably won't speak very much about confiscating guns. And so they adjust their speaking about talking about things depending on who they're speaking to. And I want you to note when the Apostle Paul speaks to people, he preaches the same message. And if I understand the Bible right, the Bible says in one of the doors that we use the board that we use to get people's attention, be able to talk to them and share the gospel with them, three things God can't do. The first one is God can't lie. The second one is God can't change. And God's message doesn't change. It's interesting to me that God's message is the same in China. It's the same in Russia. It's the same in Mexico. It's the same wherever people are at. The message is the same, that people are sinners, that sin sends you to hell, that Jesus died for sinners, that men need to repent. It's the same message. And the message doesn't change depending on whether you're talking to a president or a pauper. It doesn't change. And so we need to understand that. So here the Apostle Paul realizes that he's going to be dealing with a man who would rather please people than please the Lord. Take your Bible and go over to the book of Galatians for just a second. Galatians chapter number 1, and the Bible talks about this pretty plainly, if I can find that place. Galatians chapter 1, and let's start in about verse number 6. Here the Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, says this: I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven speak any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. It would seem to me that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, repeats this because he doesn't want it misunderstood. He said the gospel that we've preached is the gospel that we preach and the gospel we will preach. It's the same gospel. And then he says in verse number 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And so here the Apostle Paul said, if we're going to change our message and tone down our message and not preach the truth, we ought not to be a servant of Christ. And so we can understand from that that the Apostle Paul, when he talks to these people, is going to talk to them with the same gospel he's talked to about before. And I believe that the reason that these men, Festus and Felix, the reason that they were wanting to please men rather than please God is because of fear. Fear is both a good thing and a bad thing. You know, it's a good thing when we fear the Lord. It's a good thing when we learn to fear things that can harm us. Wise is the parent that teaches his child to fear fire, to fear heat, to fear being burnt on something. Wise is that parent. Wise is the child that understands that. But when we begin to fear things that God has already conquered, and we begin to fear things that change all the time, then we're fearing things we ought not to fear. And people are just real crazy. They're fickle. They change their mind all the time. And so fear is one of the reasons that men don't trust Christ, and the reason that they want to please men rather than pleasing the Lord. When we talk to people there at the fair, I noticed that a lot of times when we're talking to a group of two or three or four people, I notice this more prevalently probably in younger people, but you'd be speaking to one particular person, and the others, you'd see them kind of laughing and making somewhat of a mockery of things. And when here's one of the fears that men have. What will my friends think? Well, the Apostle Paul right now didn't have any friends around. It didn't matter what they thought, really. And the Apostle Paul would have preached the same thing anyway. But to have a fear of what people will think. Sometimes Christians in the area of serving have more of a fear of what people would think than what God would think. And boy, we're in a sad shape when we get in that place. And we find ourselves in that place as children of God all the time, where we fear what people think. What we need to do is we need to have more respect for what God thinks than the fear that we have of what men think. So the fear of what men think. The second thing I think that men fear is what they might have to give up. Now, as Felix is leaving this position that he's had for so long of a time as a governor, he might be wondering what he would have to give up if he would side with Paul. And then Festus, as he comes onto this position, he might be wondering, what do I have to lose if I side with this man Paul? And people begin to understand that there may be a cost in taking this position. There may be a price that has to be paid. And so men fear the wrong things. And then in verse number 10, when the Apostle Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged, to the Jews I have done no wrong. Notice these next six words. As thou very well knowest. Excuse me, I don't know how to count. It's five words. As thou very well knowest. Here he said, listen, you know I'm telling you the truth. You know I've done no wrong. You know that. Now, I think that's boldness. We need some people today. Brother Al Wells used to say, like a tomcat that rears back on its hind legs and spits tobacco juice in a bulldog's eye. Now, that paints a pretty picture, but I think he's saying we just need to be fearless when it comes to presenting the gospel of Christ. He says, you know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, Paul said. Boldness. And in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 1, I wrote that as a reference, and I can't recall exactly what it says. Let me read it here real quick. Ah, the wicked flee when no man pursue, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And so when we have our fears, and listen, fears come. Fears are a part of life. Fears come, and when that happens and there's something God wants us to do, but we're afraid, then, of course, that's a weakness. When we're weak, then are we strong? And so we need to understand that God wants to make us bold as a lion. In John chapter 9, we find the man that was born blind, and he receives his sight. You mean that's where the disciples said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he is born blind? And Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest. Jesus heals him of his blindness. The religious crowd sees that healing, and they're wondering how this happened. They begin to ask him questions. They don't like his answers. They go and talk to the parents. The parents tell them they didn't like their answers. They come back and talk to the parents, and the parents say this: ask him. We don't know. He's our son. He was born blind. How he sees, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. And they really just kind of threw their son under the bus. Why? Because they were afraid. They were afraid because in the text, in context, it says that it had been agreed that if anyone agreed that Jesus was the Christ, they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. They wouldn't have any rights as a Jew anymore. And so they were afraid. They were afraid. And if you look back in your Christian life, you can probably see times when you didn't do exactly what God wanted you to do because you were afraid. I can look back at times and say, well, I should have talked to them. And I didn't. Why didn't you? Well, I was afraid. No, we can put fancy words on it. But when we're afraid, we're afraid. And when we're afraid, it's an evidence we're not relying upon the Holy Ghost of God like we need to. We need to have His boldness in our life. In verse number 11, he repeats himself. He said, I appeal unto Caesar. And then it doesn't tell us how long, but certain days, in verse 13, King Agrippa and Bernice come, and they came to Caesarea, and they salute Festus, and of course they have all their hobnobbing to do. And then verse number 16, here is something coming out of Roman law that was brought into American law. The Bible says, to whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him, the right to face your accuser. In verse number 19, Festus is expressing all this to Agrippa. He says certain questions against him, Paul, of their own superstition, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. He said he just keeps insisting that Jesus is alive. We can't change his mind. We can't get him off this subject. He just keeps talking about the resurrection. So then in verse number 22, Agrippa says to Festus, I would hear the man myself. And so Festus tells him, tomorrow you can do that. And so the next day, Agrippa and Bernice come in with great pomp. Bernice, his wife. Bernice doesn't have a good reputation at all. She was married. Her husband died, so she married her uncle. Her uncle died, so she had a relationship with her brother, and she's a very wicked woman. But she comes now, and she's going to stand and help to prod Agrippa on with his decision about this one called the Apostle Paul. Well, then we find that you get down through here in verse number 25. He appealed to Augustus, and he said, I have determined to send him there. Verse number 27, he said, I have a problem. It doesn't seem like it makes very much sense to send Paul to Rome to see Caesar Augustus when I don't even know what charge to send with him. He said, I've got a problem. Paul said, I want to appeal to Caesar, but I don't even have a charge to send against him. And so should our lives be, that if we're called to give an account, people have to, like they did Jeremiah, lie about us to have something to charge us with. They finally came to the agreement with Jeremiah that the only way we're going to have anything on us to accuse him of is in the manner of the way he worships the Lord. That's all. We're going to have to find fault there because he hasn't broken any laws. He hasn't violated any principles. He hasn't done that. We're going to have to. I wonder if people have to look that hard to find something bad to say about us. It ought to be so. Father, thank you today that you love us. Thank you for this book. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God that takes it and puts it together in our lives and shares with us that which we need from it. I pray for the morning service. Ask you to help us there. Protect again those that are at the fair, meet their needs, and we'll thank you for every victory. Help us, Lord, really, to thank you for every victory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.